up. It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Andrea Baumann-Lustig. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. Then we got into some of the concepts covered in Andrea's newest book, Legacy on the Line. We talked about the different challenges associated with leaving a legacy, the reality of the amount of wealth that's going to be transferred in the very, very near future, and how to effectively do that in a way that's going to be impactful and equitable and all of those really, really important concepts. We talked about the disconnect that often happens, the emotions that are at play, the importance of being proactive with your planning, and then really, really, really the importance of making sure that you're working with the right advisor and or team of advisors. We close with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Andrea, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Okay. Try this. I've been to the highest place on earth. I've been to the lowest place on earth. And I've been to the driest place on earth.
Wow. Nice. Okay.
What do you think?
I'm gonna listen to all three and then try to guess. All right.
Those are the three.
Oh, got it. Okay, excellent. So you've been to the highest, you've been to the lowest, you've been to the driest.
Right.
Whew. What's the lowest place on earth? Is that like the bottom of the ocean, Andrea? Are you saying you've been to the bottom of the ocean or dry land?
I'm not giving you any hints yet, but I would say dry land. Let's leave it to dry land.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, yeesh. I bet the most challenging place on earth would probably be getting to the highest place. And while I'm not trying to say that you're averse to extreme challenges, I don't think that you've been to the highest place on earth, Andrea.
And you would be right, George.
Yes.
I have not been to Mount Everest. But I have been to the lowest place on earth, which is the Dead Sea. And I have been to the driest place on earth, which is the Atacama Desert in Chile.
The Atacama Desert in Chile.
Why would you go there? I went to visit the site of what's going to be the Giant Magellan Telescope that is being built, and it's going to be finished in 2030, and it's going to change the face of astronomy and what we learn about the world and whether there is life out there. And it's something that's always fascinated me.
That's very cool.
So
they're in the stages of building this thing.
Yes.
And obviously it's quite an operation if it's going to take that long.
Yes. Well, if you really want me to be a total nerd, I will tell you that telescopes today tend to have one mirror, big telescopes, one mirror, 7.5 meters wide. The Giant Magellan Telescope will have seven mirrors, each of which is 8.5 meters wide. So it really will expand our view and insight into the universe. It's very exciting.
Incredible. Do you find yourself staring off into space quite a bit?
Now that I've been there, much more so than I used to.
Yeah.
Because now I'm convinced that how can we possibly be alone? There must be some form of life somewhere, but who knows?
It's a big universe out there.
It is a very big universe. Billions and billions of galaxies.
All right. I like it. Well, well done. Back to matters here on planet Earth, Andrea. What is top of mind for you right now?
You know, we are at the outset of the greatest wealth transfer in history. $124 trillion is going to be handed down through generations between now and 2048, so approximately 22 years. And, you know, $22 trillion is going to go to Gen Z and millennials in the next 10 years, and $46 trillion to millennials in the next 25 years. So there's a lot of wealth that's being handed down. And what I'm worried about is that neither the donors nor the receivers are really prepared.
And that's probably true, because unless they've gone out of their way to try to figure out how to prepare themselves, it's not an innate thing, is it?
It isn't, look, it's completely understandable, right? We all focus first on, maintaining our lifestyle, accumulating assets, preparing for retirement. But we don't think about the next phase, which is really transferring our assets. And in the first phases, if you think about it and you have good returns and good documents and good intentions, it feels like it has to be good enough, but it really isn't. The transfer phase requires completely different skills. It requires a lot more collaboration and communication and providing context for what you want to do to transmit your values. And the crazy thing is, you can't just wait till the end. Oh, I'll wait. I'll wait. Once I've got retirement mastered, then I'm going to think about wealth transfer. The earlier you begin to think about wealth transfer, and the more you come back and revisit it at different stages of your life as life takes you in different directions, the better your plan will be and the better your ability to bring it off and make it happen will be.
Which certainly makes sense, but we human beings are not necessarily good at being proactive and understanding opportunity costs.
It's so true. And really, what I think stands in the way, what causes even sophisticated investors to fall short is not really markets, but blind spots, deeply held convictions or unexamined beliefs, things that we're so sure of, we just take for granted and we stop questioning them. But this is what derails even the best run financial lives. I'll give you some examples. Like the first section of my new book, which is called Legacy on the Line, the first four blind spots are: I'm definitely working with the right advisor. I have all the advisors I need. It's smart to work with multiple advisors, and I can act as my own advisor. That's section one. And each and every one of these deeply held convictions, or what I call blind spots, are completely and entirely logical. They're completely reasonable. But the question is, are they really in your best interests when it comes to wealth management? And so the goal is to help you take that apart, think about it, and identify what excellent holistic wealth management or wealth planning that takes you along the whole pathway to transfer is really about.
And all those make sense because if I've been working with this person for a while, that's my gal or that's my guy, and they're doing an awesome job. So why would I doubt that? Why would I upset the apple cart and da 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 da?
Oh, it's so hard to even cut. One of the blind spots is I could never leave my advisor. Exactly as you said, our lives are entwined. Our kids are friends. We see each other at social engagements, and part of what you have to do is quietly on your own disconnect the emotion from the objectives and try to think about, look, maybe that person is serving your best interest. They really could be, but there are a bunch of questions to ask yourself to make sure that they're doing that. By the way, maybe they have offered to do everything that you need to have done, and you've sort of shut it down because you thought it was something that you should wait to deal with. So, it's not an open and shut case. I will say that most people only work with one advisor in their lives. 70% of people only work with one advisor in their lives. But what I think about is the fact that 80% of men die married and 80% of women die single.
Wow.
And of those single women, 70% of women change advisors when their husbands die. Why? Because they've never felt engaged or they never felt like they could understand it. They didn't know what was going on. So everything you thought you were putting in place, one spouse or the other, it's not just a male-female thing, although maybe some women feel like we have separate lanes, but that's not true in every couple. Everything you thought you put in place with your advisor can fly out the window because your spouse or partner changes advisors. So you really want to get the other side of your couple, if you're in a couple, engaged. And if you're not in a couple, you really need to ask yourself whether your actions are aligned with your intentions.
What do you mean?
Well, you may say, what I really want is to build a legacy. And here's the legacy that I envision. But if you don't stop and think about, have I really taken the steps on my own or with my advisor to ensure that I'm moving along that path, the odds of you achieving the legacy you envision are diminished. You have to really re-anchor your actions and your thoughts on your true objective, which is ultimately getting to the point where you can build the legacy you envision. It's not about performance. It's about protecting, transferring, and growing your assets and communicating what you want to the next generation, to your spouse first, if you have one, and to wherever that money is going to go in the end.
So there's a lot of links in the chain. So this is something that requires planning and then follow through, like most things in life.
Exactly. It's a little bit of self-discipline, and that's why, you know, when you have strong convictions and you have these blind spots, you can convince yourself it doesn't really matter. You'll get there later. But if you're intentional about it, the opportunities to identify places to enhance building your legacy or to mitigate risk pop to the surface. And you can address those or restructure things earlier, and therefore compounding can take effect and you know, be even a more powerful contributor to your legacy.
What is that reframe? The reframe is away from estate planning and taxes and equalization of an estate and all these sort of non-interesting concepts, important concepts, but it's the wrong language. You said transferring values. You talked about you've used really, really, really good language that's different. So
well, I don't mean it to be opaque. I really look, I've done this with my own family. I sat first with my husband. I said, you know, what is our mission? What's our mission as a family? And what do we want to communicate to our children? And so there's a lot actually in the book about having the talk. But it's not just about having the talk. It's about preparing yourself to have the talk. What is this all for? Why are you accumulating wealth, not just for retirement? What do you want to have happen to it? Those are the values that you want to convey. You know, I'm sure you've heard the expression shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves in three generations. I don't know if you know that almost every single culture on the planet has that expression in its own words. You know, it's like clogs to clogs, rice paddy to rice paddy in China, every single culture. And it's not because of poor performance. It's because of silence. It's because the values get dissipated. How do you talk to your children about what's important? People don't want to have this talk because they're afraid of making monetary promises that they won't be able to keep. They might not be able to keep, or they might change their mind and say, oh, I know I was thinking of leaving you this, but I actually spent it. I did this or did that. Or they're afraid of dissipating the ambition in their children. They don't want their children to think that they're going to inherit money. Or they're not wealthy and they think this doesn't matter. But this is not an issue just for wealthy families. It is an issue for wealthy families. Dollars are concentrated in the wealthy, but 50% of Americans are either going to give or receive some sort of inheritance. It might be an IRA, it might be a piece of a house. And so the social and financial and emotional impact is widespread. And sometimes even a smaller legacy being dissipated has a much more profound impact. So what you really want to think about is, what do I want to transfer? Why do I want to transfer it? What are my hopes for my children? And there are ways to have this conversation that don't involve disclosing amounts. And that's a concern for the wealthiest families and for the least wealthy families. So there are many ways of structuring a conversation about what our intentions are that don't involve saying, this is how much you're going to inherit, or this is how much we're hoping you're going to inherit. And as soon as you provide, if you have a talk and you provide a context, here's what we're hoping to convey to you, this is what we think is important, then the wealth transfer becomes not just an opaque mush, but something with that has an understandable structure to the next generation. So if you've done certain things, like you've left it in trust, instead of the trust being interpreted as a way to control the next generation, if you have a chance to explain, it may be that it's a tremendous benefit for you because it's outside of your estate or because it's not subject to creditors, things like that. So there are many, many interesting things that you can convey in a in the talk about wealth transfer that if you've prepared for it over time intelligently will result in your family being stronger, not weaker, will surface tension and disagreement while you're alive to address it. And it's really, really important.
No question about that. And that's really good evidence of why it is it's important to be working with an advisor or professional that knows this space, because these are not impossible conversations, but if you needed to get a hip replacement, you want to go to the doctor that does five of them a day versus one a year kind of a thing.
Yeah. And so when you asked about, you know, what does re-anchoring really mean, or realigning, I would even use that word. It's asking yourself, have I actually changed my actions to align with my values, to align with my desire to create and transfer a legacy? And then the next question I would ask is, has my advisor proactively brought together all my advisors? Have I sat around the table with my investment advisor, my estate planning attorney, my tax accountant, and my insurance agent ever? Have I ever done that? And if I've done it once, am I doing it at least once a year? Because these are all experts that have so much to contribute, but they can only do as much as their siloed view permits them to do. When you bring them around the table and you have a holistic wealth management plan that looks forward, that shows what accounts are going to grow, what accounts are going to be spent down, are you going to have an estate tax problem, how are different assets held, then those people around the table can instantly identify opportunities to either enhance your legacy, mitigate taxes, mitigate other risks, restructure things. And I'm the one that brings people together, and it's one of the most satisfying things I ever do, because I'm not the expert, I'm the quarterback. And being the quarterback and trying to bring the best to bear is incredibly fun. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle, and we're all sitting around a round table trying to figure out where the corner pieces are, and then where the edges are, and then how is the picture going to come to life.
And by the way, the stakes are pretty high.
Yes, they are. I mean, this is your future. And it's funny, because sometimes it's the families that have the most that are the most reluctant to talk about it with their children and or with other people. And they think, I don't need to. I've met with my estate planning attorney. I've got my estate plan done. But your estate planning attorney can only plan for what you have today. They don't really see the evolution of the assets that a good wealth planning model will show them. Your tax accountant is thinking, okay, how can I minimize taxes today and maybe a couple of years in the future, but may not be able to see the broader picture either. So it's often the people, the most financially sophisticated people whose legacy planning falls short. And it's because they haven't just turned and faced the future.
Got to turn and face the future. Andrea, it's coming, whether we're ready for it or not.
Relentlessly, every day, one hopes. It's better than the alternative.
True. It is true. And I can see why, you know, there's a lot of anxiety that goes along with that, not wanting to irritate kids or damage relationships or whatever. So we just kick the can down the road, and these things
Oh,
are so time sensitive.
exactly. Kicking down the road is the easiest thing to do. And often, your spouse says, "I don't have time for this." We each have our own lanes of responsibility in our couple. And this is your area, it's not my area, but it really is both of you. It's your family, it's your future. It's what you're doing everything for, in many senses. And you can discover things you never thought you might uncover. For example, this is one of my favorite situations where this couple who were very well off had two children. They first had to have a daughter who, quote, did everything right. She went to great school. She worked really hard. She got a fantastic job. She's making a lot of money. She never got married or had kids. It wasn't what she wanted or whatever. And she's doing really well. And her younger brother, now married, has three kids, a little more happy-go-lucky, wasn't focused on accumulating assets. Neither was she. She just was able to do it. He wasn't. So the parents look at their wealth forecasting plan and they realize there's going to be a lot of money there. And now they're struggling. Should they divide it equally? Or, a lot of families think that money should go to the most needy. So should it go to their son who has three children and isn't necessarily going to be able to pay for college and graduate school for his three children? And so they're torn and they're talking about it back and forth. And in the end, they decide, look, we've always had the value of fairness. And so we can't, quote, penalize the accomplished child. And so we're going to leave it 50-50 and we're going to have the talk. We're going to share with them, not numbers, but we're going to share the plan with them. So we get around a table and we start to talk about the family mission and the values that have, governed this family to this point and what they think is important and how important fairness is in the future. And they're going to create a foundation because they would like to do that to offset some taxes. And then the rest of what's left is going to be split 50-50. And they're sitting around the table. And the daughter says, "Mom, Dad, that's ridiculous. I don't need this money. I would just give it to my nephews anyway. I want to make sure that they all have college. I would be setting up 529s, and I don't know if that's the best thing to do once you give it to me, or whether it's better for you to do that now. But, since you mentioned this foundation, I would really love to become president of the foundation. That's something where I feel like I could carry on the legacy and I could have impact on future generations since I don't have any children." And everybody was shocked. Obviously the son was really happy because he knew his kids were going to get taken care of. And it just worked out really well. Now, not every situation works out well, but better to surface the disagreement, the tension, while you have time to address it, not leave it for your kids to worry about after you're gone.
Beautifully said, a perfect example. Well, Andrea, you've given us a lot. We're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
I would say just simply ask yourself, has your advisor gathered your other advisors with you around the table and peered into the future? If not, ask them to do it and see what happens.
Well, I think that that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Got to get everybody on the same page, Andrea. It's not going to happen on its own, for goodness sakes.
Thank you.
Well, Andrea, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage? Where can they get their copy of Legacy on the Line?
There's a great website. It's called legacyonthelinebook.com. And all my contact information and information about the book is there. And obviously, the book is available on all the major websites.
Wherever fine books are sold.
Yes.
Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Andrea your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to legacyonthelinebook.com and check out everything that Andrea and I have been talking about. Get in touch and get your copy of Legacy on the Line and make sure that your advisors are on the same page. And if they're not, get some better ones, for goodness sakes. Get in touch with Andrea. Thanks again, Andrea.
Thank you, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are, so act accordingly.